Hour number two, taking you up till 6:45. Always great when we can talk with Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox and the NFL Network. Charles, how are you?
I'm doing well, Grant. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. I got to tell you, I watched the fourth quarter of the Tennessee game at Neyland Stadium, yeah. and I got to tell you, the end of that game and the celebration at the end of that game with everything that goes into winning a big game at Tennessee, and we know what their nemesis has been over all these years.
Yeah.
That was one of the neatest things I've seen in college football. That was an incredible scene to witness, and I'm so happy the announcers just laid out and let us enjoy it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Oh.
I wish I'd seen it live. I was unfortunately got caught working. But you know, I saw some of the stuff later, and you know, very quickly the things that hit me most about it, and I think we're on the same path. It wasn't just that the team beat Florida, you know, had lost to them 11 years in a row, and you're on track now to be the best team in the SEC East at the least, you know, all that stuff, right? The fan base. I mean, this has been a fan base that went from feeling like every year you had a shot when Philip Fulmer was the head coach,
right,
to uncertainty. Okay, the last couple of years of Coach Fulmer wasn't quite the same. They decide to make the move. You go Lane Kiffin. You get all this hope. And, of course, then that class, that so-called great class he recruited, they got use out of about three of those kids. Truthfully,
yep.
Grant, that's not an exaggeration. And so now you're wiped out in recruiting. You're behind. He leaves. Derek Dooley comes in. You know how that went. And then Butch has to come in and essentially start over. The only reason I bring it up this way for that celebration is that fan base, I know it doesn't feel like it in a lot of places, that fan base has been extraordinarily patient. I mean, yeah, they've been upset. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to act like they all
sure.
went, oh, no problem, whatever. But overall, they were willing to give opportunities to each of the coaches, and especially with Butch. They bought into, listen, it's going to take a few years, but we're going to get there. And they finally got their first bid of the payoff, and it was a huge bid. Now, of course, we'll see how the rest of the season goes, but they were finally rewarded, and that was pretty neat.
Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox. Charles, every year there's a team, maybe two, that come out of nowhere. That team right now is Philadelphia at 3-0. And you know what? I said this. You know what? Okay, you could say, well, they beat Cleveland. Okay, well, they beat a bad Chicago team. Well, guess what? They just beat Pittsburgh 34-3. I've seen all I need to see that I would not want to, you know, I'm not selling this team short anymore, you know? And listen, I said if you had turned the TV on and you had no idea who Carson Wentz was, you would swear that you were watching a perennial all-pro quarterback. Back at work.
That's a great point. And even going back to beating Cleveland and Chicago, that's a rookie quarterback.
Yes.
Okay, so you're supposed to struggle with people because you're supposed to dumb down the playbook, right? You're supposed to work around him, right? You're supposed to make it easier for him because New England did that for Jacoby Brissett. Don't. I'm not saying he didn't perform. He did.
Yeah, but it was completely different. Yeah.
Completely different. Limited playbook, defense carrying, blah, blah, blah. With Wentz, oh my God, he's up there doing line changes.
It's unbelievable.
Just, you know, gets in a little bit of trouble, skips out to the side, motions a guy, threatens the line of scrimmage like he's running, pulls up the defense, lops it over their head. Sproles keeps running for a touchdown. Stands in there when the heat is right in his face and makes throws. And what people have to remember is he got hurt in preseason doing that. That's why I only played in part of one preseason game. Remember his broken rib?
Yeah, yep.
Because he stood in there and took the hit. So, yeah, look, he's got some days coming. Let's not kid ourselves.
Sure.
There's not a quarterback out there. The Hall of Fame is littered with quarterbacks who threw four or five picks in a game. Okay, it's going to happen.
Right.
It's going to happen. But overall, you like your odds, and you love his
yep.
demeanor, and you love the way Philadelphia's playing around him. And by the way, Jim Schwartz on the defensive side, yeah, you can coach him defense.
Oh, boy.
Schwartz.
No kidding. Hey, you just saw Green Bay score 34 points. Last week, we saw Minnesota completely stymie them. Held them to 10 points, and then I see what they do at Carolina. I mean, come on now. Minnesota sacks a mobile quarterback like Cam Newton 8 times, and I'm saying to myself, You know, here, how good can the Vikings defense be if they are able to do that on back-to-back weeks to the Green Bay Packers and the Carolina Panthers?
And no Sharif Floyd inside.
Unbelievable.
Okay, so it's not like they had every weapon that they've got. Mike Zimmer's always been a great defense coach. We've known that. But he's proven to be a great head coach because he's handling the defense still, but he's hired good people on offense, and they're playing the style he wants them to play on offense. And the defense is complementary football, as coaches like to say. But to your point about the defense, they're carrying themselves like a defense is prepared to carry a team and enjoying it, similar to what Denver did last year. That's where they are right now. Long season, but I love the three-game sample.
What's your take after watching Green Bay in person when you were doing the game for Fox against Detroit this past week?
I'm eager to see something I didn't do very well on air. You know, Green Bay played a lot of nickel. It kind of came out nickel and stayed in it because LaTroy Guyon was hurt, big nose tackle. Clay Matthews didn't play, so Peppers had to play more. They've been trying to limit his snaps. They want him fresher in December and January, but they had to play him a lot more. I want to see them, if they have to stay in that nickel as their base defense, deal with a team that wants to run the football and will stay with it and be consistent, you know?
Sure.
That's what I want to see. Now, Mike Daniels inside, their big D tackle, he's not getting nearly the credit he deserves. Boy, he's playing at a level. Similar to, remember Linval Joseph last year, how he emerged from Minnesota?
Absolutely.
That's what I think Mike Daniels is doing with probably more pass rush ability. And he is really playing at a high level now. But I want to see if someone lines up and let's say it's Seattle that wants to press the run. You know what I mean? That's what they do. Now, their offensive line isn't what it has been, so it might not be the same test case. Carolina would be that kind of a test case if they really press it because they're built better for run blocking, and Minnesota took advantage of that. Stuffed the run because Jonathan Stewart didn't play. And then, as you know, they got after Cam. And it's not just sacking him 8 times. You're talking about getting 260 pounds on the ground.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. No, I hear you.
That was crazy.
That is crazy.
Absolutely crazy. So that's what I want with Green Bay. That would be my next step, and I didn't do a good enough job of illuminating that, and I'll be looking for that down the road.
What game do you have Sunday?
I am in Arizona. I've got a good one. Because,
raise your hand if you had the Rams in first place after 3 weeks.
The only thing I had about the Rams, Grant, and we talked about it, was that they would beat Seattle.
I did too. You and me both were on the same page.
We had that one.
Yep.
You know, we had that one, but that's the only one I had because with the Rams, their pattern has been you beat Seattle or if San Francisco was good, right? Or
sure.
You give fits to whatever, and then your so-called peer, you would find a way to lose. And that's why I was encouraged. I actually just watched the Rams in Tampa. Very encouraging to watch what the Rams did in that game because they were very close to being really on the tapped outside. It was 20-10 Tampa. Tampa's driving first half. They throw it in the flat. Charles Sims bobbles it a little. Tremaine Johnson with the big hit. Ball pops in the air. Mark Barron intercepts it. Then they go down and score, make it 20-17. It's an entirely different game. If Tampa goes in and scores and goes up 27-10, I don't think L.A. recovers. And that's about what I would have expected going into the game, that it would come out that way. That, yeah, they're going to go on the road now after the big win, and they'll lose. So that's very encouraging about where L.A. is now. Long way from turning the corner.
Sure.
But it's all starting to kick in for them. Play defense, run the ball better with Gurley, and they're still got it. So ways to go to get him sprung totally, but they're getting there. Keenum, for the most part, taking care of it. He threw a bad pick six, but overall, not bad. And they're going to do it old school, old style.
Yep.
Similar to how Minnesota's going to do it, although Minnesota's got a better chance now with Bradford. But that formula they've been trying to build towards, they might actually be there now. We'll see. It's a huge one because Arizona's going to be desperate.
Oh, they are desperate. Boy, they look terrible. Carson Palmer was horrible. This team, I don't know what the deal is, but the Cardinals have had terrible first quarters this year. You know, and this is a team that most people thought, okay, they had the most players back. They were ready. The experience last year of getting to the championship game, they were the team. And, boy, they have looked terrible here in the first 3 weeks.
I talked to someone who covers them on a regular basis. And his opinion is, remember the old Pat Riley book, but when he used to talk about the disease of me and how that affects a team, the guys are worried more about their own than the collective. And
right.
Bruce Arians has done such a magnificent job of making it about the team. He said, I don't know that they're there, But I think that they walked into this season thinking, you know, we are really pretty good and maybe weren't quite prepared for what was coming at them. They forgot that they were going to be circled on everyone's schedule, you know, because for so long, Arizona's been the one chasing people. Last year was really a pursuit of Seattle.
That's a good point.
Done.
That's a great point.
They got that done. This year, they're the ones being chased down, and that's a little bit different for them. So I think this week is a massive week for them, absolutely massive. I remember what Bruce Arians told us after the first week when they lost to New England. He said, this is a character check. He said teams with really good character don't lose two in a row. Well, they got to really pick themselves up after the Buffalo thing, because that was a debacle, because that whole thing was just bad all the way around.
Boy, it was bad. Of course, Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox, he's got that game, the Rams and the Cardinals from Arizona. Now, I don't know what your schedule is on Saturday. I know you do a lot of interviews and you get, you know, ready for your game. And I know you missed watching the Tennessee game. But I got to tell you, I hope that you're able to peek in on the Louisville-Clemson game on Saturday.
I can't wait. Can't wait to see that. Lamar Jackson's a blast. I got to see a good portion of him against Florida State. And I think the whole country was kind of locked in.
Yeah.
You know, we're starting to hear about Lamar Jackson. Okay. And I think we were all like, okay, but this is Florida State now. This isn't going to Syracuse. This is Florida State. And he did to them pretty much like they were Syracuse. It was sensational. And then he follows it up last week in Marshall where they got, you know, another big one where he blew people away. This one with Clemson is off the charts. Can't wait for it. Looking forward to it. And I think I've got a good, you know, a good chance of seeing most of that game, which is going to be a whole lot of fun. And it's not just him. That Louisville defense, which is not going to get the credit it deserves because Lamar Jackson is so scintillating. Go back and look at the Florida State game. Look what the defense did to Florida State. That was Dalvin Cook, right?
No question.
Carrying the ball for Florida State.
Yeah, it didn't look like
that
it, but yes.
That was Dalvin Cook.
Right.
They reduced to rubble, among other things. They were sensational. So it's going to be fun to watch because I think this game's at Clemson, right?
Yes, it is at Clemson.
Valley.
Yep.
Well, you can't ask for a better college football atmosphere in that one, and that's going to be an absolute blast. And I'll give you this one real quick, Grant. You ready? Last week, with Tennessee, Florida is on, we're meeting with the Lions. So the game's in Green Bay, Lions are standing in Appleton, you know, 40 minutes away, whatever it is.
Sure.
We drive over there. They're having Oktoberfest, so we're struggling to find a parking place to get to the hotel. And I kept looking at my watch saying, isn't it still just September? And somebody said, in Wisconsin, it's always Oktoberfest. Deal with it. So we get there. We get to the hotel. The Lions come in. Terrell Austin, their defensive coordinator, used to be a coach at Florida. He walked in with a big grin on his face. Hey, Charles. And I said, all right, Terrell, we'll score. He said, 21-3 Gators.
Oh, boy.
I said, this would be a short interview. So we do our little talk, hug it out. He leaves. Jim Bob Cooter comes in, offensive coordinator.
Right.
Did Jim Bob go to school? Tennessee.
Right.
Jim Bob, how's it going? He said, looking a little bleak right now, but after we're done, I'm going to go put my Vols hat on and root them on. And when we walked out, someone said, hey, you guys ought to feel better. It's 21-17. I said, oh, Jim Bob, we're moving. Here we go. By the time we got done with Coach Caldwell and Glover Quinn, and it's time to go, we're packing up to leave.
Yeah.
It's 24-21 Tennessee. In the car on the way back to the hotel, it's 38-21 Tennessee.
Yep.
And I see none of it.
Oh, I gotta tell you.
All I'm doing is getting the updates from my people. And I was like, this is the most unbelievable thing. I've got to see this. And luckily, I had it recorded at home, so I'm going to watch it this week.
Well, I've got to tell you, you have to watch it. And the scene at the end of the game, and I know you've lived there as a player, but I got to tell you, and it's why I love the SEC, because it's incredible. And I love watching Army-Navy at the end of the game because I think what they do with the fans and the cadets and the midshipmen, there's nothing like it on the planet. But I got to tell you, what I witnessed in Knoxville on Saturday at the end of the game gave me chills. And I have nothing to do with Tennessee. Anyway, I'm telling you, it was unbelievable.
Well, it was a long time coming. At Alabama right now with this run that they're on, they celebrate like crazy.
Yep.
But they expect it. At Tennessee, we haven't expected it in a while.
Yeah.
So that's why you saw a full outpouring of the whole thing. And it's the SEC. You know, what I was told when I got there, one good old boy said, yo, Jay, you Yankee? Let me tell you something about football down here. Down here is all the time is God, is family, is football. That's all you need to know. He said, but let me tell you something, son. On Saturdays, It ain't in that order.
Hey, you got the message real quick, right?
I got the message real quick.
Oh, my gosh. Last thing for you. I'm wondering what type of pressure is not the right word, but here are the Saints at 0-3. You know, the first game was just one of those things. They lose a one-point game. They lose a tight game at the Giants on a last-second field goal. And then they come home on Monday night, really, I mean, they give up 45
Katrina
points.
Game.
Huh? I mean, really.
Katrina
game. Yeah, 10-year anniversary, and you give up 45 points. I mean, wow, what is – I know you haven't done the Saints in the first 3 weeks, but good Lord. I mean, this team and Sean Payton, how they weren't good last year. But, I mean, this team does not look very good.
No, and I think the part that jumps out at me is, remember – I don't think it was last year and even the year before, the speculation was starting to kick in that maybe Sean's time in New Orleans was over. Not because they wanted him out, not because he wasn't an effective coach, but sometimes it just gets stale and maybe he needed a new place.
Yep.
You know, the old John Madden 10-year rule, that sort of thing. And when he re-upped in New Orleans, frankly, I was a little bit surprised because I know he could have had other jobs in the league if he so wanted, but he didn't. He wanted to be there. Okay, that's great. But they still haven't fixed the defense by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it's terrible.
Firing Rob Ryan's one thing, bringing Dennis Allen back is another. But they don't have guys who can play. Plus, they had a bunch of guys hurt again. And, you know, without health in that league, I don't care how good a scheme you have. I don't care whatever. You're in trouble. And they were missing DBs. They're hurting. They're not quite as beat up as Chicago, but there was a similar feel to it. And they're playing guys that you wouldn't ordinarily play. In Atlanta, took full advantage of it. Their running backs got it going, and off they went. So,
all right,
we'll see. It's a tough one for them. They are in a real desperate spot because, the last 10 years, you get to 0-3, you don't get to the playoffs.
No, they're not.
How good can they be later on? Can you have hope for next year? Can it look like something's coming along? And, oh, by the way, Drew Brees, he may be a medical marvel and in fantastic shape, but he is like 407 now.
Yeah,
so that makes things a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? That's firmly tongue-in-cheek.
No, of course.
If anyone that would beat back the years is Drew.
That's right.
But at some point, Father Time comes for us all, and they're going to have to make some decisions.
All right. I know I said that was the last question, but I lied.
Yeah.
Because here's the most important question with Harlan Coben's new book, Home. Did you read that from start to finish without putting it down?
No doubt.
Okay.
And I will say this because it's going to be Mr. Dropper and the whole deal. I got an advanced copy.
Oh.
So I read this book more than a month ago.
Oh,
probably
wow.
Closer to 2 months ago, and have had to sit on it the entire time.
Oh, my gosh.
Waiting for my friends to be able to get it and catch up. All I can tell you, have you gotten it yet?
I have not, but it is going to happen real soon. I'm going to start my trips next week, so I'm getting it. I'm taking it on a plane with me, and, yes, it will be in the Napier library.
All I'm telling you, and I'm telling Mrs. Napier,
yes,
I just want you to text me after the first chapter.
Okay.
And here's what I'm willing to bet, that you won't be able to finish the first chapter without texting.
That. I love that.
Because the way it opens, outstanding.
My biggest
That's all I'm going to tell you.
See, here's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to stop at the bookstore on the way to the airport, because if I don't and I come home with the book, then I'm second
then
in line.
Done.
There's no way that I'm reading that book first. Not happening.
You got that right. I understand.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
All right, listen.
Yeah, I can't wait for that text.
Safe trip to Arizona. You be well, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, you do the same, Grant. Always great to talk with you.
Same to you. That's Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox. If you want to call the show, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Somebody says, explain to Grant and Charles that New Orleans has lost six starters on defense, including their entire secondary. That more than Sean Payton being stale. Well, first of all, Sean Payton is stale. That's number one. And number two, every team in the NFL has lost starters already. And, yes, the Saints have had a rash of injuries, but they're 0-3. You think they're the only team in the NFL? How have the Philadelphia Eagles been playing? How have the New England Patriots been playing? All right, I mean, let's not blow this out of proportion. All right, they were at home on Monday night, and they are now 0-3. And here's the problem with them. Here are their next four games. At San Diego, home against Carolina, at Kansas City, home Seattle. All right? So let's just call it the way it is. There are a lot of teams in the NFL right now that are already down starters. A lot of teams. That's just the NFL. That's why depth is so important. That's why, you know, it's the next man up philosophy. I mean, New England, are you kidding me? You know, starting week three on their third string quarterback, a guy that nobody had ever heard of. You know, a guy that was not supposed to even play one snap this year is now the starting quarterback of Philadelphia, and they're 3-0. I mean, come on now. The Saints, I don't think they were projected to be a playoff team when the season began, but now they are in deep, deep trouble. They are in deep trouble at 0-3, and their schedule does not look that favorable. I just read it off. Does not look that favorable. And, yeah, they've lost some tight games. You know, they lost by 1 point to the Raiders. They lost by 3 points to the Giants. The book that Charles was talking about is by the author Harlan Coben, C-O-B as in boy, E-N, and it is called Home. All right? It's called Home. All right, we are going to get you right up until 6:45. My thanks, as always, to my favorite guest that I have on each and every week, Charles Davis. Coming up at 5:03, we'll talk some 49er football with Matt Barrows, our 49er insider from the Sacramento Bee. But when we return, we're going to have an open segment at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. This is the Grant Napier Show on Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, Grant Napier with you. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Hope you had a chance to listen to my conversation with Rudy Gay, trying to get a gauge of where he was mentally. And he said, hey, listen, when I'm playing, I'm playing. Like, he did not think that that was going to affect anything to do on the court. I think we all know that Rudy Gay would prefer to be playing elsewhere. I think that he would have enjoyed being moved. But I asked him if he I think I posed the question this way. I said, hey, I get this asked all the time. People want to know if your heart's not really into it, can you perform up to your capabilities? And I'm paraphrasing, but he said, absolutely. He said, my heart is on the floor because it's not going to change the way I play. Said it's not going to change the way he plays. If you want to talk about that, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. We're talking NFL football. We're talking about the playoffs in baseball with the Giants. Obviously, every game is so crucial. As they start a series tonight against Colorado, 6 games left, and then we'll see if they're playing one more at least. 3 against Colorado, 3 against the Dodgers, and whereas you think the Dodgers may not have anything to play for, they're playing for home field in their first round against the Nats. So they're going to try to finish with a better record for obvious reasons. All right, let's get to Matt. You're on with Grant Napier. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how you doing, Grant?
Good, Matt.
Yeah, I was listening before week one, and you said all Raiders fans should be happy with 2-2 after week four.
Yep.
I'm happy, and you think they're going to go 3-1?
You know, I think they are a better team than Baltimore. I'll be honest with you. I've not been that impressed with Baltimore. I think they've had a cupcake schedule. They have not impressed me when I've watched them. You know, they barely won a game in Cleveland, and I don't think Cleveland is that good, although they just lost again in overtime in a game that they played against Miami. But, you know, they only scored 13 points in a win against Buffalo. They had to come from behind to beat Cleveland, and then they beat a Jacksonville team where they only scored 19 points, 19-17. So, you know, to me, I'm looking at Baltimore the way I look at Tennessee. You know, Baltimore does not score a lot. And so the question is, can the Raiders score 20 points? And if the Raiders score 20 points, I think they're going to win the game.
Woohoo! That sounds good. it's so nice to be, you know, have two wins this early. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. Now you got to get greedy. You know, now this is not going to be an easy game. I'm not going to, you know, it's in Baltimore, and, you know, they are 3-0. They're feeling good about themselves. They've got a veteran quarterback in Flacco who doesn't make a lot of mistakes. But there's nothing that has happened in the first 3 weeks that I'm looking at Baltimore and saying, boy, that was impressive. You know, beating Buffalo 13-7 is not impressive. Beating Cleveland 25-20 is not impressive. Beating Jacksonville 19-17 doesn't do it for me. I mean, Baltimore to me is 3-0, but I'm not so sure they're as good as a 3-0 record would seem. All right?
Thanks. I think I lost you. Thank you.
All right, thank you. 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Then, you know, Baltimore after Oakland, they've got Washington. Then they're at the Giants, and then they're at the Jets before their bye week. By the way, speaking of the bye week, is there anything stupider than the two teams that have byes this week, Green Bay and Philadelphia? Is there anything worse than having a bye week in week four of the NFL season? Oh, and by the way, we always talk about schedules in the NFL. We talk about Ron Rivera crying over the schedule. Hey, you know what? I'm thrilled to death that Ron Rivera's team is 1-2. Stop your bitching, all right? That the complaining is for people like us in the media. It's not for head coaches of National Football League teams, okay? You know, you didn't hear San Francisco complaining when they had to play on a Monday night and then travel across the country to take on a team that had been off for 10 days. Speaking of schedules, the Green Bay Packers have a bye this week, all right? And then next week they play the Giants, who are playing at Minnesota on Monday night. Again, you will not hear Ben McAdoo be complaining about the schedule or John Mara, but is there anything more absurd than having a team play on the road on Monday night and then going back on the road the following week to play a team that's coming off a bye? What is going on with the NFL schedule? I mean, that you want to talk about something that makes absolutely no sense? Why would you have a road team on a Monday night, then have to play another road game the following week against a team that had a bye? How stupid. Let's get to David. Hello, David.
Hey, Grant, what's up?
Hey, David, what's going on?
Hey, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the Packers-Vikings, and you told me that you thought the Packers would win the division. I know it's still early, so I'm not making any proclamations, but do you still think the Packers are going to win with the way the Vikings D is looking, barring injury from the Vikings?
I like what I see in Minnesota. I like their fact that they can get to the quarterback. But, you know, again, 3 weeks gives me an idea of what I have in Minnesota when I look at this team. They're much better defensively than I thought. I don't think they're that good offensively, but they don't have to be that good offensively if they're playing the way they're playing on defense. Now, I think they have a very – I don't know if you've studied the schedule, but the middle part of their schedule to me is not very difficult. I mean, they have
– it's cupcake, yeah.
It really is. Yeah. And so for that reason, you know, to me, I could see Minnesota going 11-5, 12-4. I don't know how you feel about Green Bay. I was very impressed with how Minnesota handled them in the 17-14 win on Sunday Night Football. But, you know, the opening of the stadium, I wouldn't count Green Bay out just yet. I wouldn't count them out just yet. Minnesota's got Monday Night Football against the Giants. I think they'll win that game. And then they have the Texans. I think they'll win that game. And then again, you know, their schedule is not that difficult. I was surprised when I looked at their schedule last week how easy it is. I mean, don't you think their schedule is relatively easy?
It is. It is. I think a lot of people thought that we'd go 1-2. Everybody thought we'd beat Tennessee, then we'd lose the next two. But I'm telling you right now, Zimmer is a genius on handling the defense.
Yep.
I think that honestly, even without Adrian there, I think that if we had an even serviceable offensive line, we'd be dominating every team right now.
Yeah,
good.
Yep.
It's just that, you know, and I think Bradford's the surprise. You know, he's not making any mistakes.
Nope.
He's getting nailed a lot, but
I think, you know what, though, David? Think about this. You went into Carolina, and your leading rusher had 45 yards. Okay.
I know.
Now, I mean, that's you only rushed, your leading rusher has 45 yards.
I know.
But your defense comes up with 8 sacks against a mobile quarterback. Like, to me, like, and I'm a Giants, you know, I'm a Giants fan, okay?
I'm like
shaking in my boots thinking, okay, Eli Manning is an immobile quarterback against an offensive line that is not that good. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, Eli Manning has not missed a start in his entire NFL career. Like, he has never missed a game because of injury. And I'm thinking to myself, if he's ever going to get hurt, it's going to be on Monday Night Football at Minnesota with the way they get after the quarterback.
You know, it's weird, though. I don't know the exact numbers, but over the years, it seems like the Giants have had the Vikings number for some reason.
In Minnesota, not New York.
Yeah.
Minnesota always seems to win in New York. New York always seems to win in Minnesota. That's the way it's gone.
I don't know why that is.
Yeah,
but
I don't either.
I do think that if they're able to bust a trade off or something for an offensive lineman, I really think we could do a lot of damage. To me, we're kind of like the Broncos were last year. You know,
very difficult to make a trade in the middle of the season.
I know, but you got to admit our team looks like Denver last year. I know that's high praise, but it's like a lot of defense. We're not putting up a ton of points on offense, but we don't need to. Just like the Super Bowl, it was like same strategy, like no line. You know, we're just getting beat up, but we can still win because our defense is so good.
Yeah, and you should be able to move the ball a little bit on Monday night. The Giants are without their 2 starting cornerbacks who got hurt on Sunday against Washington. So, I mean, I would think that the Vikings should be able to move the ball a little bit better than they have been. Hey, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks, Grant.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get more of your phone calls. That's next here on the Grant Napier Show. Don't forget Matt Barrows, our 49ers insider from the Sacramento Bee, coming up at 5:03. We take your phone calls at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Let's get to Mark. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good afternoon, Grant. Hey, real quick on a couple things, but real quick on Rudy Gay. You know, Rudy Gay is playing for a contract, you know, for next year. So I would expect him, to leave it out on the court. And, you know, he might not even be there the full year. So, you know, but, you know, the question is going to be, Rudy, you know, is not a, you know, big defensive player. So in you know, Jaeger's system, you know, how is he going to be able to perform? Because you know he's going to try to get his points.
You know what? I asked him that question yesterday, and he said that he thinks it's much needed. He said that's what he was used to when he played in Memphis, and he said that he can't wait. He said that that's something that this team has needed for a long time, and he said he's very much looking forward to getting back to that system.
Well, that's good, but he's also a little older, too, so it does take a little out of you. But,
he's still in his prime.
Yeah, neither here nor there. But I want to talk about the 49ers, the AK, Jim Tom Sula, Jim Harbaugh offense. Chip Kelly, you know, this offense is not suited for Chip Kelly's, you know, style of play, obviously. I mean, you know, Seattle – was basically all they had to do was defend within 12 yards like they did with Kaepernick. So it wasn't really much. And if you look at their offense, it's just, the first play of the game, give me a frickin' break. You know, your backfield, you don't even know it's a blown play. And, you know, Gabbert's got to eat the ball. The running back's nowhere even near. His first play from scrimmage. And it was all downhill from there. A lot of their plays are vanilla. A lot of, backfield guys out of the backfield thrown into the flats. No blocking downfield. It's just really, it's really atrocious and hard to watch these guys. The up-tempo offense, obviously, is just not suited for this team. And I don't know what they're going to do, but, they didn't do anything in the offseason, so this isn't a surprise. Obviously, we thought after the first game and them playing Carolina pretty good that, hey, we might have something here. They're going to be able to compete. But that game the other day was an embarrassment.
It was an embarrassment against a team that really had looked very bad in their first 2 games.
Yeah, and so I don't know what they're going to do, but Baalke's got to go. They've got to shake some things up. Obviously, Chip Kelly's going to be there for a while, So they've got to get some offense. And then Davis, Davis has a concussion again, but apparently he wasn't happy from going from tackle to guard. So there might be some problems in the locker room. Nobody knows. We don't know if any of this Kaepernick thing's caused any problems. But, there's something definitely going on with this team, and it's so sad to see this team that was such a great football team over the years just spiral out of control. It's just
all right,
you know, with suspensions and everything else. So.
All right, thanks for the call. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Somebody said, I know it's early, Grant, but what do you say the over-under for the Kings win this year? From what I hear out there right now, it seems really low. I'm looking at about 44. Well, Vegas has it at 32.5, I believe. So if you're at 44, you're much higher than Vegas. If you think that, well, you know, I hope you're right. I hope Vegas is way wrong, and I hope you're way right. I'll leave it at that. I need to see this team play in the preseason. You know, I need to see what the coach's rotation is going to be. You know, he said that pretty much 10 guys are going to play with 8 getting most of the minutes. So there are going to be a lot of players that are not happy. And that's the way it's supposed to work. You don't want all your players being happy. You know, when you used to have 12 players, they used to say, well, as head coach, you can only make 8 or 9 guys happy. The other guys are going to be unhappy because they think that they should be playing. And that's, you know, welcome to the NBA. You know, as Jerry Reynolds always says, it's not Little League Baseball. Not everyone gets to play 3 innings. And so 8 players are going to play the majority of the minutes. Now, here's what I know, and here's what you know, okay? DeMarcus Cousins is going to play a lot of minutes, all right? So that's one guy that you know is going to play a lot of minutes. I don't know who else is playing a lot of the minutes. I don't know how he's going to divvy up the minutes at small forward with Rudy Gay and Matt Barnes and Omri Caspi. But I can tell you this, not all 3 of those players are going to end up being happy. I can guarantee you that. I don't see it happening. All right, let's go to 2 guard. Aaron Aflalo, Ben McLemore, Garrett Temple. All right, let's go to point guard. Darren Collison, Ty Lawson, Jordan Farmar, and some Garrett Temple that can play point. All right, let's go to the bigs. And you notice I'm not talking about any of the rookies right now. I'm leaving them on the back burner for right now. Willie Cauley-Stein, Kostas Koufos, Anthony Tolliver. So you see what I'm doing here? I'm talking right now, okay, about a coach that says he's going to play 10 guys, and you're going to have 8 play the most of the minutes. And how many players did I just name, right? A lot. Good luck. And good for Dave Yeager. You know, he's not worried about players' feelings. He doesn't have time to worry about players' feelings. You know, he just doesn't. But there are going to be a lot of players this year, in my opinion, who are going to be upset that they're not playing. And we understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're going to be unprofessional. You know, I'm not saying that they're going to be disruptive. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying there are going to be players that feel they should be playing, and they're not going to be playing. That's called life in the NBA. And I don't know how the rotations are going to work. I mean, look at the power forward. Look at the bigs. Cousins is going to get the bulk of the minutes. Then you got Willie Cauley-Stein, Kostas Koufos, Anthony Tolliver. Now, again, you notice I have not mentioned any of the kids. I have not mentioned Richardson, Malachi Richardson. I have not mentioned Scal Labissiere. Right? I have not mentioned Papianis. I'm not, you know, we're talking, they're not even mentioning them. So this is going to be a very, very interesting training camp. All right, when we come back, Matt Barrows, our 49er insider from the Sacramento Bee. That's coming up right here, the Grant Napier Show on Sports 1140 KHTK.